Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to our House of Representatives call for Tuesday, July 25th, 2023. Our summer is rapidly going away, I guess, is the best way to put it. Hopefully, all have been having a good summer, and as things progress into the fall, hopefully things are going to get exciting for you. We're going to have another teaching from Dr. Mosley tonight, but before we jump in to that teaching tonight, does somebody want to open us up in prayer this evening?
This is our Representative Mark Biner. I'd be happy to do that.
All right, you have the floor.
Thank you. Yahweh, our Creator and Father, thank you for providing everything we need to survive and thrive during this time of Babel and illusion that is being used in the world. We are thankful for being chosen to live in a time such as this, when so many prophecies are being fulfilled, a time when the prophets themselves wanted to see and experience for themselves the mighty power of you as your words come to fruition. Father, a time when your bruisers go forth boldly and call down all ungodly acts with your words. It is written in Jude verses 11, "Woe upon them, for they follow the example of Cain who killed his brother, and like Balaam, they will do anything for money, and like Korah, they have disobeyed God and will die under his curse." End quote. And so, Father, we speak your words boldly against the dark illusionists that the curtain has been drawn back to show, and the deception of power and perversion of responsibility that has gone on for far too long. And by the stripes of the blood of Yeshua, we are healed of this corporate deception and actors that never were meant to be anything more than temporary during the Lincoln presidency. And not only that, Father, we further decree and declare that all evil will be defeated by your elect, by the blood of the Lamb, Yeshua, and the testimony of the word of the saints, with the vengeance of the Lord, exactly as written in Deuteronomy 32 and Revelation. But we give thanks for so many patriots who shed blood and have given their lives to keep the fires of freedom burning. We give thanks for all those who have stayed faithful to you and your word no matter what, Father. We know that they are safe with you once again. Watch over us, Father. Put a dome of protection around us, our true leaders, our family, and our friends. The enemy cannot penetrate. Send your holy angels to camp round about us to be ready to war in the spirit for us. Cover us with the blood of Yeshua, Father. God save the Republic. Thank you, Father. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes, yes. Amen.
All right. Thank you, Representative Binder. I'm going to quickly go through the rolls so we can get started with our teaching tonight. I'm going to start off with myself. Representative Rockwell is present. Representative Reed.
Representative Reed from Nebraska is present. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, sir. Representative Schmidt. Representative Binder, are you with us?
Hi, Representative Mark Binder is present. Thank you.
And Representative Cox.
Representative Robin Cox from North Dakota is present.
All right. Thank you, ma'am. It looks like we have four representatives representing four states tonight. And I'm going to go ahead and let Dr. Mosley jump in here with the laws of life for tonight and give us our teaching for this evening. You have the floor, sir.
Thank you very much. The laws of life. As you may be aware, we define a law of life as being an absolute divine truth that governs the consequences of our actions, and that everything that we do and everything that we say activates one or more laws of life, either in a positive or in a negative way. Over the last several sessions, we have been sharing with you based upon the difference between the kingdoms of the world and the kingdom of God. And we started with the economic system of the world and how that contrasts with God's economic system. Then we went to the social system of the world. And we started a few weeks ago on the political system of the world and how it differs from that of the kingdom of God. And tonight I'm going to share with you further from an article from renew.org. In fact, we started a different article from renew.org a couple of weeks ago. And that article dealt with the five differences between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the world. And we talked about those five differences. And tonight, as time permits, we're going to draw from, not that we're relying upon, but we're drawing from this particular article also, some information as it relates to the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the world as it relates to politics. And we may be able to finish our discussion concerning this particular article this evening, or it may carry us into another session. But I do ask you, as we begin, to participate in any way that you feel led. And if something that is made mention of in this article that you want to respond to, feel free to interrupt. And because the article is very strong in some of the areas as it relates to politics, and I'm merely using it for the purpose of us having an additional view of the kingdom of God as it relates to the political arena and the kingdom of the world. 12 reasons for keeping the kingdom of God separate. That's how the article begins. 12 reasons for keeping the kingdom of God separate from politics. Jesus came to establish a kingdom that was not of this world. This is why Jesus refused to call on angels to defend himself, and why he forbid his followers to use violence to defend themselves or advance their cause. It is also why neither Jesus nor Paul nor any other New Testament author ever tried to advance the kingdom or influence society through political means. As representatives of the kingdom of God, we are called to do nothing more or less than what Jesus did. The kingdom of God always looks like Jesus, dying out of love for the people who crucified him. Following his example, kingdom people are called to transform the world, not by the power of the law, but by much greater power of being Christ-like, self-sacrificial. Our central call is to be imitators of God and to live in love as Christ loved us and gave his life for us. People in Jesus' day consistently tried to get him to weigh in on political options of his day. Yet Jesus consistently refused. He resisted the devil's temptation to acquire the glory and authority of nations by means except through self-sacrificial love. Jesus' goal wasn't to provide us with God's opinion on the right political option or right nationalistic agenda. His goal was to provide a radical alternative kingdom to all political options and all nationalistic agendas. Followers of Jesus are called to imitate this attitude and behavior. And I want to emphasize this point. The author says we may participate in government however we feel called, but must never confuse this participation with our unique calling to represent the kingdom of God. All versions of the kingdom of the world retaliate when harmed, or sometimes threatened. But kingdom people are never to retaliate. never return evil with evil, but instead return evil with good, Matthew 5:37. Governments and political parties always act in their own self-interest, but kingdom people are to always sacrificially act in the interest of others. Kingdom people are to bless those who persecute us, pray for those who mistreat us, and to prefer serving others above being served by others. Political parties and nations don't do this. Kingdom people are never to do anything except in a way that manifests Christ's love. Never to insist on having our own way, as in fighting for our rights. Never to participate in violence, and to always consider our own sins, however minor, to be tree trunks in our own eyes, while viewing other people's sins, however major, to be mere dust particles. This is antithetical to the way political parties and nations operate. This radically unique, loving, humble servanthood demeanor manifests the holiness of the kingdom of God. And it is compromised when Christians in any way associate the kingdom of God with any political party or nation. The church is called to be the body of Christ because it is to do exactly what Jesus did in his incarnate body. Though he was sinless, Jesus attracted tax collectors, prostitutes, and other sinners who were the most despised people of his day by loving them and serving them just as they were. Never did he try to pass laws against them. The publicly expressed concern by Christians to pass laws against people who have sinned they don't have is one of the reasons the body of Christ is not attracting sinners like Jesus did. It is one of the primary reasons Christians are known for many, mostly negative things, but not known for our outrageous Calvary-like love. Yet it is our love, above all else, that God says we are supposed to be known for. John 13:35. Indeed, this is the primary way this world is to become convinced Jesus is Lord. Israel was one nation in history that was once under God, forming a theocracy. Yet Jesus rejected the many attempts of people to get him to use political power to take Israel back for God. Jesus was showing us that the kingdom of God can't be associated with any national or political ideology. If Jesus didn't associate the nation of Israel more closely with the kingdom of God than any other nation, how much less should Christians today be inclined to associate America or any other nation or political agenda with the kingdom of God? And if Jesus didn't try to use political power to take Israel back for God, though many wanted him to, how much less should his followers today be inclined to try to take America back for God through political means? Also, it is not clear when America belonged to God. And this is strong language I'm about to share. It was founded on violence, genocide, and slavery. That's about half this article. I think you probably had enough to digest in one session. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I yield.
Yeah, that is rather interesting. Does anybody have any questions or comments about what Dr. Mosley has talked about before he continues.
This is Representative Robin Cox. May I please have the floor?
Yes, you have the floor.
The reason, I just wanted to add a little something here. The reason Jesus didn't try to exert political power was that he came first of all as the Lamb of God, and it was his mission to die. It was not to die for the sins of the world, but it wasn't his mission at that time to save Israel politically. His mission, first of all, was to save them spiritually. However, Jesus, at the second coming of Christ, when Jesus comes to rule and reign on earth for 1,000 years, his kingdom will be political. He will rule the nations with a rod of iron. Just a thought. Thank you. I yield.
Thank you.
Any response to that, Dr. Mosley?
No, what I'm inclined to do primarily tonight, Mr. Chairman, is to just share the thoughts of others as relates to the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of the world. And then we will wrap up, and I don't know, as you and I have talked about, how long it will take for us to even cover the political aspect of this study. But I'm just interested and inclined tonight to listen to the thoughts and concerns and the retorts of others in the group tonight as we share the thoughts of this particular article, which is very thought-provoking.
All right. Does anybody else have any questions or comments?
This is Representative Mark Biner. May I have the floor?
Yes, you have the floor.
Thank you. I just wanted to say, as far as the Republic's concerned, we usher in the kingdom of God. We're all for that. Until that happens, though, we're trying to re-inhabit what God gave us and the founding fathers for this nation. That's basically what we're doing. And obviously, we don't endorse violence of any kind to do this. We're trying to win this battle spiritually, because if you win the battle in the spirit, then it manifests in the natural, and so that's what we're looking for. And to also, not to help God do something, because he doesn't need help, but to participate in what God wants us to participate in concerning our nation and trying to get back our rightful government, common law courts, that type of thing. And that's my standpoint anyway. I yield. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, sir. Yeah, we're actually partnering with him, and he's partnering with us. It's a joint venture, I would say, even though he does the most of the work. Anybody else have any questions or comments?
This is Representative Robin Cox. I just thought of one more thing.
Sure.
In the Revolutionary War, the Christians, there were a lot of Christians who did get involved in politics. There was the Declaration of Independence, and when the British attacked us, they had to defend themselves with firearms. And then there was the Black Robe Brigade, which was a lot of Christian ministers who talked about the politics of the day from their pulpits. And there were a lot of preachers that got involved with the physical fighting of the British troops during the Revolutionary War, and the British, and some people considered them to be traitors to Britain and guilty of treason. But God, he must have approved what we did, because he blessed the war and caused us to win the Revolutionary War, and he set us up, at least then, as a Christian nation. I yield.
All right, thank you. Anybody else?
This is Representative Mark Biner. Can I make one more point?
Oh, certainly.
Okay, thank you. I just also wanted to mention the status of the churches today as far as taxes. That churches should not be taxed, nor their buildings or anything like that. But an unlawful act of Congress caused the 501c3 church to be formed. That's a state church. Now, there are alternatives. There's the 508c1a free church, which is also not taxed, but can share political beliefs as far as they apply to the Bible, and they can express their own views as they see it in politics. And you could say that most of the churches fall under the 501c3 church tax code nowadays, where they can't express political views, at least not in name. And I think that's a big handicap. It doesn't help us out at all. It's more for the enemy than for us, as far as being in favor of. And I yield. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Anybody else? All right. Go ahead and continue, Dr. Mosley.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Satan owns the glory and authority of all the kingdoms of the world, including America. And he gives this authority to anyone he pleases. Jesus refused the devil's temptation to acquire the authority to rule others by any means other than through self-sacrificial love expressed on Calvary. His followers are called to resist this same temptation and follow his example. Satan is the god of this age and ruler of the world, who controls the entire world and possesses all the power of all the kingdoms of the world. While governments are ordained by God to preserve law, order, and justice, Romans 13, and while some governments do this better than others, kingdom people must always know that there's a demonic element also at work in all governments, and thus must take great care to keep the kingdom of God distinct from all of them. Among Jesus' followers was a tax collector, ultra right wing, and a zealot, ultra left wing. Yet Jesus never once comments on either of their views, thereby revealing that such political differences are irrelevant to the alternative kingdom Jesus came to establish. When Christians today associate one political party or a nationalistic agenda more closely with the kingdom of God than others, we compromise the separateness, the holiness of the kingdom of God, and then inevitably divide the body of Christ. Christians are called to be soldiers for the kingdom of God, thus not to be entangled in everyday affairs, i.e. politics of the region where we're stationed as soldiers. We are rather to seek to please our enlisting officer, Jesus Christ, who calls us to do nothing more or less than imitate him in his loving service to people. As a witness to the alternative kingdom he was establishing in the world, our witness is our willingness to serve and suffer for people whose lifestyles may object to, and even people who may despise us. Without exception, whenever the church has succeeded in gaining what so many Christians try to acquire, political influence, it has resulted in a government that is bloodier than most secular governments. If Scripture is not sufficient to teach us to keep the kingdom of God completely separate from the politics of the world, history should be. I'm about to the end of this article now. Whenever the church succeeded in gaining political influence, it was eventually all but destroyed. It eventually has all but destroyed the church. All the areas once ruled by Christians are now more pagan and hostile to the gospel than unreached areas. Europe, for example. This is not an accident. For the church is called to be a servant, not a master of the world. The association of Christianity with political and nationalistic agendas has caused untold harm for missions around the world. Many today understandably resist the gospel because they associate it with the atrocities committed by countries identified as Christian. In the past, Europe, or the present, America, for the sake of the gospel, kingdom people need to proclaim that neither America nor any other country ever was Christian. The kingdom Jesus came to establish and the kingdom we've called to represent is not of this world. John 18:36. With that, Mr. Chairman, I yield.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Mosley. Definitely a different type of call tonight, but that's good. It's good to mix things up a little bit to make people think some more, which
yeah,
you know, it does for me. So appreciate that.
And for me also.
Yeah. That's been this whole study has been definitely an eye-opening thing for sure, and especially for me. So I'm going to go ahead and open up the floor again for anybody that has any questions or comments of Dr. Mosley.
Well, this is Representative Mark Biner. May I have the floor?
Yes, you have the floor.
Thank you. I think probably could summarize that as saying, the article as saying that we are in this world, but not of this world. And I had something else I was going to talk about, too. Well, I'll yield right now. Maybe we'll come back a little bit. I yield. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, sir. Any comments about that, Dr. Mosley?
Nothing further this time, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Anybody else have any questions or comments?
This is Representative Doug Reed from Nebraska. May I have the floor?
Yes, you have the floor, sir.
You know, as I listen to these teachings, it occurs to me that it could be boiled down to say, hate the sin, but love the sinner. I yield.
Yep. Very good point.
Yes.
Anybody else?
This is Representative Mark Biner. May I have the floor?
Yes, you have the floor.
Thank you. Dr. Mosley, I want to thank you for bringing this teaching to our attention. And I guess the last thing I wanted to I was trying to remember is we need to focus on the things that aren't seen rather than focusing on things that we are seeing, because the things that we can see right now are temporal. The things that we can't see right now are eternal. So I think that's the lesson, and I yield. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Yep. Anybody else?
Yes, this is Representative Robin Cox. I just thought of something else. When Jesus came the first time, he came as the Lamb of God, not as the King of Kings. He came as the Lamb of God, and if he had pushed a political kingdom at that time, like the Jews wanted him to do, then he couldn't have died for the sins of the world, but he came to die. He was the Lamb of God, and so it was not his mission at that time to have a political kingdom. But then when Jesus comes the second time to rule the earth for 1,000 years, he will be political, and yet it's a spiritual political kingdom. I just thought, you know, that God doesn't say that it's wrong to use firearms or any kind of weapons to defend yourself, because we have the Second Amendment to the United States Constitution, which says that we have the right to keep and bear arms, and I believe that violence is wrong except in self-defense. But then the Bible talks about Israel. You know, was God encouraged them when when they were rebuilding the wall, and Nehemiah was talking about how that the Israelites were supposed to carry a sword in one arm and in one hand and build with the other hand, and they were the Bible says that they were to defend themselves, their wives, their children, because they were being threatened by the local area people who didn't want them to build up the city anymore. But he was encouraged them. Nehemiah said, fight for your wives, your children, and this nation. I yield.
All right, thank you. Anybody else? All right, before we let you go tonight, Dr. Mosley, you want to give your contact information, your website, et cetera, to everyone at this time?
Yes, the website is Justice Ministries, INTL, abbreviation for international.com. That's Justice Ministries, INTL.com. I don't have a minister phone number in front of me because I never committed to memory. I always have to go back and get one of my cards. But my email address is MosleyJustice1, that's MOSELY, Justice1, @AOL.com. MosleyJustice1 @AOL.com. Thank you for the opportunity, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Thank you, sir. If you choose to go ahead and take off at this time. I know it's late where you're at. That's fine. We'll go ahead and wrap things up here with any final comments. So I'll leave that up to you and go ahead and ask everybody if there's any closing comments for tonight.
This is the Representative Mark Binder. I've got a question I'd like to ask. I have the floor.
Sure, you have the floor.
Thank you. I just wondered if anybody's seen the movie The Sounds of Freedom, and if they recommend it and how it touched their life.
I saw the movie. I thought it was excellent. I yield.
Okay. How did it touch your life, Representative Cox?
Well, it really opened my eyes to how much child trafficking and pedophilia are, you know, so rampant today, and I just didn't realize that it was so. I just didn't realize that it was so.
Prevalent.
So prevalent. Yeah. And I didn't realize it was that much of a problem. I knew that there were some people who did it, but it's all throughout. It's infiltrated our country, our government, Hollywood, sports, everything. And it's really opened my eyes to that we made me more aware of the gross sin of pedophilia and child and women trafficking. I'm going to be texting some of my friends to advise them to watch the movie. I yield.
Thank you for that insight. I haven't seen it yet, but I think I probably will. A lot of people have recommended it. And I yield. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Anybody else have any closing comments for tonight? All right. If not, I would definitely entertain a motion for us to adjourn tonight, if somebody would like to do that.
This is Representative Robin Cox. I move that we adjourn for tonight and reconvene on August 8, 2023 at 8 p.m. Central Time. I yield.
This is Representative Mark Binder seconding that motion, and I yield.
All right. Thank you very much. We've got a motion on the floor to adjourn tonight, and it's been seconded. All in favor, say aye.
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 And is there anybody opposed? All right, we'll go ahead and stand adjourned for tonight. And before we go, does somebody want to close us in prayer this evening?
I'd be happy to do that.
All right, somebody. You have the floor, sir.
Thank you. Yahweh, our Heavenly Creator, we give you honor and praise for the supernatural works that are unfolding right before our very eyes. You have called us here at this time in history to be a part of your plan of salvation, to save America and mankind from the Babylonian system, the system that was first started by Nimrod, the son of Ham, Noah's son, so long ago. He was born in 1908 A.M. While they believed in the traditions of man and idolistic society as their savior, Noah and the children of God have a firm reliance on divine providence with the creator of the universe, Elohim, Yeshua, and Holy Spirit, three in one, whose wisdom passes all understanding. Thank you, Father, for revealing the truth that sets us free from bondage of all captors, past, present, and future, and for the sacrifice Jesus made to redeem our souls from hell and death by his blood. We are washed, covered, saved, and healed by his blood, and no devil can defeat the blood. Father, we ask your holy angels to reveal even more truth and open the eyes and ears of your beloved children to your republic you and the founding fathers gave us to prevent us from becoming slaves to the Babylonian system of government, finance, education, and religion. Save us from falling prey to the wicked tyrants that think they can control the world with paper money, deception, and lies. Father, we give you all the recognition, praise, and glory for winning this spiritual conflict for truth once for all, closing this moment in time with your prophecies fulfilled completely. In Yeshua's mighty name we pray. Thank you, Father. God save the Republic. God save the children. God save America, Canada, and the nation of Israel. Amen. Thank you, Father.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Very good. We will catch you all in a couple of weeks.
Right. Good night.
May everybody be blessed.
Good night.